This is a Collider.com audio interview.
I'm really happy that people, it seems like the initial reaction in Sundance was good. I'm excited to see what people think. I don't know. You guys tell me.
It's excellent. And okay. It's just so beautifully acted, but how hard is it to talk about it? I was just saying, it's so hard to talk about it. Alan Alda said things up again. I can't use that without giving the whole end of the film away. Yeah. Have you found that it's really difficult to discuss?
Well, it's up to you guys not to give anything away. We don't really have to say anything for you guys to actually ruin the plot for people, but I think that because the story is about real people and it's about kind of a full in my opinion it's a rather full drama on its own. There's a lot to talk about. It's a story about fathers and sons. It's a story about journalistic integrity. It's about it's about just integrity as a person in general. Mm-hmm. So there are a lot of themes that you can really kind of mine.
Did you go into a newsroom and did you talk to journalists and did you maybe base some qualities that you saw in and incorporate them into your character?
Yeah, well, what was great is having JR as a sort of mind to use. I met JR, really only talked to JR a few times before we signed on, before I signed on. But then once I signed on, I talked to him on the phone a lot, and then met him. And when I was in New York, I hung out with some journalists there, and then I was hanging out with journalists in Denver and in Calgary, and being able to go into the bullpen, into the and hang out with the in the space where the journalists work, and just seeing how much of a business and how much pressure people are under in this business, it gave me a newfound respect for you guys. It's kind of you guys are between a rock and a hard place. Being is that you want to create a story that people want to read, but you're competing with gossip on the internet, blogs that don't really have any. They have no responsibility to the truth, and it's hard to be sensationalist and to get people interested when you're when you're stuck having to tell the truth, and then of course you've got the higher ups, the bosses, who are media moguls, and usually there's so few people that actually own papers in this country, and they just as soon throw your paper away as continue it on, as long as it's it just needs to make money. It's the same, it's actually kind of the same thing in the movie business these days. It's like the movie side of every company is such a small entity that if it's not making a lot of money, if they're not turning a profit, it's like, oh, we don't need that wing anymore. We'll just eliminate the studio.
Well, what's interesting is that when you were shooting your scenes in the Calgary Herald newsroom, the life of the newsroom is continuing to happen around you.
Yeah. That was actually that helps inform the character. It helps inform the movie. It gives it a real feel. And they gave us so much access. And the poor people that had to work in silence all day long while we were rolling.
I know that newsroom. So.
Yeah.
It's all done in beige.
Yeah.
That's such an interesting choice. I would have thought you worked from midnight to, not that a newsroom at some point isn't always open. Yeah. Were you surprised that you were actually working around these people?
Well, we did some night shots, but because if you in the movie you can see there's a whole bank of windows in the background, so we needed some light coming through. Otherwise, we were going to,
You're really good playing a dad. So do you have nephews or something? Because you haven't played a young dad before?
No, I haven't. I mean,
because you're good with that, right? With that kid. Yes. Does that come from nephews, or where does that come from?
I have, I'm a lot older than my little brothers and sister. So I think I grew up, I grew up babysitting them. And, but not, for the most part, it was just, it had a lot to do with the kid. The kid was, he was, by like the third day, he was like, the way a kid will come up and like wrap his arms around your leg and kind of look out at the world from that perspective. He just connected with me right off the bat. And, it was a good thing. Then I got to give him back to his mom at the end of the day. So I was, no, which was good. So I was free.
I was going to ask you about, you just got back, I think, from Comic-Con.
I wanted
to know if you could talk a little bit about your experiences down there.
I didn't have a whole lot of experiences. I flew in from Hong Kong. to come do press, and just went straight to Comic-Con and then came up here to do press with you guys. So, but I did, I got to see, you know, we did the panel discussion. Sam Raimi, were you there for it?
I was at Comic-Con, but I didn't see your thing.
Were you, you guys were there? Sam Raimi is like God down there, so we walked out, I walked out on stage, right, you know, with him, and there were like 7,000 people in the audience. We showed a little clip from our movie. They went nuts, and it was good, you know. It's kind of like it's like Halloween for adults down there. It lasts for 4 days, you know.
I was going to ask you, so, I mean, so you've entered the comic book craze of movies. What was that experience like?
Well, you know, I mean, Sin City was a comic book too, and for a long time people were trying to get me to do other comic book films, but I couldn't bring myself to put on tights, you know. So I found one that wasn't that I was allowed to wear proper pants. And this is I think that this of course people are making films for comic book lovers now because they're loyal fans and actually go see movies in the theater. You know, the audiences are kind of, I think, shrinking for a lot of different genres in this business, but for some reason comic books keep, you know, drawing people in. So I think it's cool because people are actually, you know, really into the people who are at Comic-Con are so into the idea of their, you know, favorite comic book being made into a film, or just, you know, to be down there and revel in the kind of insanity of it all, you know, all these people coming together from all over the place, kind of enjoying the same thing. Sorry.
Can you talk a little about working with Sam Jackson? Your scenes are just amazing. And I kind of wonder if he didn't tell you anything about himself or how, because of the nature of the scenes that you were actually doing.
Yeah, you know, Sam and I didn't spend a lot of time talking about his family or, you know, whatever. But we got along, you know, we got along really well as, you know, as coworkers, as actors. I think he's terrifically talented. He's just such a smart actor. He comes to set with everything already planned, and I don't know if I said this in here, but it's like he would do one take and he'd be totally satisfied, and everybody else would be like, well, we need another one for technical reasons. He'd be like, why? You know, like, that was it, that was the performance, you got it. And I was, you know, I'm much more labored in my approach, I guess. I want him to do at least two, you know. And but he was good to work with. He's, because he works in such a different way. He's a kind of a legend, and he comes in, he puts on the makeup, puts on the hair, the voice, the walk, and it's like the exterior, all of the makeup and all of those exterior aspects kind of inform the interior life of the character, which is kind of the opposite of how people have been working lately in movies. So I thought it was inspiring because it opens up a whole other realm of possibilities for me now, having seen it work, you know.
How was it working with Rod Lurie as a director?
Well, Rod's a fantastic director. What he does better than anything is delegate authority, you know. And, you know, he's very smart about who he picks to do what in this film. I mean, the film was a very small budget, and I think it looks amazing. He got a really great DP. He got good producers who really believed in what his vision was. He found actors that I think filled out the roles really well. And then when we got to the set, I mean, a couple of months beforehand, he said to me, and he's very proper about his directing. Like he wants you to know exactly where he's at. So like before we were talking, and you've spoken to him, right?
Not yet. Yeah.
Oh, you haven't spoken to him yet today? Okay. Well. He says, you know, Josh, right now I think I know more about the character than you. He said, but I expect that by the time we start filming, you'll know more than me. And I was like, oh, okay. And I hope I don't, you know, mess up. But by the time we got to actual filming, there was very little discussion, and we just went ahead and did it, and it seemed like, he'd hired all the right people. It just felt natural. Sorry.
This character is seems to reflect what you've made, the choices you've made, because he's offered this glitzy star, you know, job, and he chooses the more meaty, truthful stuff. So was that hard for you to act, or was it just that's what you've done, seems to be in your
career. I admire that in people, you know, like I admire when people take the, I guess, the harder path. Not because they're masochistic and want to beat themselves up, but because, you know, you actually kind of learn more, and you, I think you grow more, and I guess that's kind of the way I'm going, you know, mm-hmm. But I'm not a construction worker. I'm not, you know, I have a pretty easy life. I really like what I do, and it's for me, it's not that much of a sacrifice to choose movies like this, because I think that movies like this are the ones that really affect people. So,
yeah. How was your experience working in Calgary?
I had a good experience. I mean, I was there for Stampede, and I went to my first rodeo.
Saw Chuck Wagon race.
Saw Chuck Wagon race, yeah, which was actually that was a lot of fun. I was surprised. You're from Calgary?
I lived there for 30 years.
Oh yeah. So you've seen your fair share of Chuck Wagons.
I had to cover the Stampede. That's mm-hmm. not fun. Mm-hmm. So it was a good experience.
Yeah.
What are you doing in Hong Kong?
I was just going to ask that.
I'm doing a movie called I Come With the Rain. It's a Tran Lung Hung film. Mm-hmm. Do you know who he is? Mm-hmm. You know who he is? Yeah. He's a, for those who don't know, he's a Vietnamese director who directed a movie called Cyclo, a movie called Santa Green Papaya, and a movie called Vertical Rise of the Sun, and he's only made those three films. He won the Golden Lion, I think, for Cyclo. At Venice, and he won, I don't know which prize. It wasn't the Palme d'Or, but the whatever it is, the other one, the other big prize, their first jury prize or whatever for his for Santa Green Papaya. And so he's really well regarded all over the world, except nobody really knows him here. And so he's written his first English language film, and he's been working on it for about six years. The script. And it's two-thirds in English, one-third in Cantonese, all set in Hong Kong, about an American looking for a man who's gone missing, follows him from the Philippines, from L.A. to the Philippines to Hong Kong. And I get to play his lead, which is incredible.
So,
kind of. It's sort of, there are certain supernatural elements to it. Not really what would you say? Not supernatural, but just a little bit skewed of a little bit off of the natural sort of path of, you know, life. My character is incredibly empathetic, and the way he finds people is by kind of living like them. The guy who I'm trying to find has the ability to heal by touch, and aside from that, everything's very real, and you just kind of like, and it's not, it's just, I think it's own sort of exploration of Catholicism in China these days, which is because China is becoming predominantly Catholic, which is odd, and yeah, isn't that wild?
Yeah,
no Cantonese for me. I mean, I'll try, but not for the film.
Was the whole crew Cantonese or something, where you wouldn't be able to communicate? Or does he speak, the director speak, and who else is in it with you?
He speaks English. Most of the actors are Asian actors. Most of them are from Hong Kong. There's one woman from Vietnam. There's a couple of guys from Korea and a couple of guys from Japan. But in Hong Kong, it's surprising. It was a British colony for so long. They wouldn't say, I guess, not colony. It was under British rule for a long time. So people speak English in Hong Kong. So
did you have fun with Terry Hatcher in the scene? This was like, it was just a silly fun. Those weird. Was it a kick?
Terry's a fun girl, man.
Yeah,
She's cool. We only hung out. She was only on set for a few hours, and then she had to go back and keep shooting her TV show.
Shoot that was just.
No, we shot it in Calgary.
Oh.
In a casino just outside of town.
I was going to ask you if you've already started thinking about projects past where you're at, and also I was curious what your experiences are like in Hong Kong, and have you been able to explore the city?
Well, I've only been there for a couple of weeks, so I haven't been able to explore too much. But yeah, I've been out a few times. I don't know if you've been. Have you been?
I haven't. It's a dream.
Well, there's an area you should go. It's amazing. There's an area called Kowloon that's kind of the older section of town. That's I guess more Chinese, more people speaking Cantonese, and then there's like Hong Kong Center Central, which is kind of where all the business people, you know, work, and that's where all the clubs are and stuff like that, where, you know, the nightlife is. And I've been kind of all around the city itself, just checking out the different areas and kind of getting to know those. But I would like to get outside of the city and into the parts of Hong Kong that aren't actually the city before you get into mainland China and just see the beaches and stuff. I would love to get out to Mong Kok.
Do you get to be anonymous over there, or do you people, you know?
Well, I'm 6'3" and white, so people do take notice, you know.
I set myself up.
No, but at the same time, people are actually amazingly respectful over there, and I haven't had any, like, any run-ins. You know, people don't really bother me, except one night I went out to, it was my birthday, so I was taken out by some of the crew to this club where there were a lot of Western people, a lot of white people, and that I got mobbed, and it was like, you know, I think I'll just walk down the street.
Are you attached to anything after what you're working on now?
I'm kind of not sure as to which one I'm going to do, so I don't really want to talk about, but there's a couple out there that I'm looking at.
But before you go, what about 30 Days of Night? What can you tell us?
Yeah. 30 Days of Night is David Slade directing, Sam Raimi producing, and Danny Houston, myself, Ben Foster, Melissa George in the film. It's a vampire film. Plain and simple, but
are
it's
you
I can't talk.
Oh.
And but it's a reimagination of a vampire film based on this graphic novel. And I have actually always had a fascination with vampire movies. So, and for me, it's about picking projects that I think are new and exciting, and also ones that have great talent involved. I think David's an amazing talent, and this film will scare the pants off of me.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Cool.
So, anyway.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.